Good evening.
No, good evening.
Would you like to get started?
Yes, I think so.
It's hard to get others to speak up except for Malka.
Well, I don't usually have too many questions myself. I really
Well,
should.
you either ask questions or you make comments, and it leads to a discussion, which is helpful for other people when they hear the recording. So we're in the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, Parsha Lech Lecha, Pasuk 203 from section 22. We'll start with the Lishem Yehud. Lishem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkin David hiluur himu'ud hiluud hiluur himu. Le'achda Lishem yud hei bavad hei. Le'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. Lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kononei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kononeihu. Upir yomach tok v'chi ki ilein milin dioraita titi v'hom tukim midvash v'nofet sufim. Devar acher fir yo matoch v'chi ki ilein nishmat chom Tzadikaya Dekala Dekalho Iba Deovado Deku Chabarichu Dekai Meya Leela. The translation, and his fruit was sweet to my taste, refers to the words of Torah, which are described as sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. According to another explanation, and his fruit was sweet to my taste, refers to the souls of the righteous, who are all the fruit of the handiwork of the Holy One, blessed be He, and abide with Him above. My commentary is that it's clear as written. Questions, comments, thoughts?
You know, it's the kind of statement, especially at the end, that makes you want to say, oh. You know, because of the souls of the righteous who are all the fruit of the handiwork of the Holy One. Blessed be He, and abide with Him above. I mean, that's a beautiful.
It's a beautiful metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a metaphor. Since every human being will eventually become righteous, every human being is the fruit of Hashem. And it is lovely language, there's no question.
Mm-hmm. I have a favorite meditation. And that's that I like to visualize the throne. And Hashem is on the throne, and of course Hashem has no corporality, no physicality, you know. So it's just air on the throne. I mean, it almost looks like, well, it does. It looks like an invisible throne. But I get on the throne, I just pretend I'm sitting on Hashem's lap. I don't see a person, but I see my face. Sitting on someone's lap. And just, it's the kind of verse you just want to say, okay, you want to just hug that air or that light.
Very nice.
You know, Song of Songs does say, kiss me with the kisses of your lips or the kisses of your mouth.
Right.
So,
it's definitely a beautiful metaphor.
Malka.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We just completed verse 203.
Okay.
We're about to go on to 204.
Okay.
Tachat seichol nishmatin di'alma di'inun i'badio vadohi tekut shabarichu kol ho chad beraza ad vachad natate di'alma kol ho mit parshain tekit Big Vavnin, the car, the nukva, the inun, the car, the nukva, mechubarin, kahada. The translation. Come and see. All the souls in the world who are the fruit of the handiwork of the Holy One, blessed be He, are one in the same secret. In the upper world, they are not yet distinguished as male and female. Only when they descend to the world are their souls separated to male and female. And every soul has a male and a female part, united together as one. My commentary with Rabbi Ashlag's plus the Basuk is clear as written, and studying reincarnation will help you understand this verse as well. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Is that because in the upper world, it's one soul and... Well, I don't know, because some come down before the other. But when the one comes down, whether it's the male or the female, the other is then still half of a soul up in the spiritual realm.
In the upper worlds, each soul is complete, male and female in unity.
Right.
When they are directed to come down, the male is shown what his life will be in this lifetime. And he accepts that and comes down. The female is shown what her life will be, and she has the choice to come down or not to come down. But in the process of coming down into the body, the souls are split. Without going into where they split, we will discuss that as we study the advanced reincarnation classes.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Malcolm.
With the female deciding possibly not to come down, so the male comes down into the physical world. So if the female stays up, stays in the heavens, or in the spiritual world, let me say that, then he will never meet his soulmate to complete his tikkun, as his tikkun as in the female side. If she doesn't come down for that soul to find the reconnection, so what happens then? He's not complete.
and it's clear she chooses not to come down with the knowledge that he would not complete himself in this lifetime anyway. Because if he was going to complete himself in this lifetime, then she would make the choice to come down knowing that it's the last reincarnation for both of them.
Okay. So, in a sense, that may not be his last reincarnation. And she may see that and wait for the last choice of reincarnation. She may stay up until that happens.
Correct.
That makes sense? Okay.
Yes, that's what is potentially happens. Usually, I believe the statistics are there's a small, like 0.1%. So of all the births in the world, 50.1% are male and 49.9% are female. But it should be, if they have a soulmate, there should be exactly 50-50.
Right.
So, but as the two halves age, we know that women live longer. So, at the age of 85, as an example, and I'm making up these numbers because I don't remember what they told me, but the number of women is like 55% versus the men that's at 45%. And it's all because the reason there's more men or boys at the beginning is because their soulmates chose not to come down this lifetime,
gotcha,
knowing that they would not complete their tikkun in this lifetime.
And that's why there's more women that's why men are deceased and women live on for a number of years, because they decide not to come down at that particular time with their soulmate. So that's why they're living. They seem like they're living longer, but actually that's not true, because the men come down prior to the women deciding to come down or not. It's kind of an illusion.
It is an illusion.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I never thought of it in that aspect. I never even considered that explanation.
Let me expand it a little bit more. Let's say there's a lifetime where they both come down, but he doesn't complete his tikkun, so they never meet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they both, when he passes, and more than likely he would pass first, he gets evaluated and he may get reincarnate, or he may not. But he may go to Gehinnom, he may go to hell to be cleansed, or he may reincarnate directly. When she passes, she always goes to Gehinnom and is totally cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
So that she has no tikkun left. Everything that needs to be cleansed is done in Gehinnom on the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the next lifetime, he may have been cleansed in Gehinnom, but now he comes back with a tikkun. But if she came down into the world without any tikkun, she would not have any affinity with the man. So she has to come down with a tikkun, but not as a severe tikkun as what he has. But she cleansed everything in Gehinnom. There's nothing left for her. It's totally cleansed. So what does she come down with to keep affinity between the male and female souls? And what she comes down with is she takes upon herself a portion of the tikkunim that he needs to cleanse. Therefore, they are close enough spiritually that they have some affinity to attract each other. But if she didn't take on some of the tikkunim that he has, there would be absolutely no affinity. So, if we put this on a practical matter, if a woman comes into this life and, God forbid, she finds herself raped, it's not her tikkun. It's she accepted that action as cleansing for what he needed to cleanse. But without that understanding, a lot of tikkunim gets very confusing to people.
Now, when they both do the tikkun, and they go back in the spiritual world as a unit, unified, and there's no more correction to be made, right?
Right. They don't come back down. They stay up in the Garden of Eden.
They stay up. They don't look for, or the female doesn't look to help another person with its tikkun. Because she's definitely back with her soulmate.
Correct.
And she has
no need to come back down if he has no need to come back down.
Okay. So they're always connected. Always.
Always, because they're one soul. They're not two people.
Right.
They're one.
But she doesn't come back to help another male with his tikkun, because she's connected to the creators, the original
unit. There are sufficient women to help whoever comes down to correct. They don't need her to come back down. And honestly, who wants to come down to this worst of all possible worlds?
Well,
if you
true.
Don't have to.
That's true. That's very true.
Could she come down before as an Ebor for him for a period of time while he's on the earth and then go back up?
Say again?
Could a female come down as an Ebor to help a male complete his tikkun, or at least work on some something of his tikkun, and then leave and go back to the spiritual world?
Yes, but again, she's coming as an Ebor to help her soulmate, let's say that she chose not to come down. And he exceeded expectations and completed his tikkun, or is ready to complete his tikkun, then she would come down as an ibur and participate in cleansing and helping him achieve the final tikkun for his soul.
Mm-hmm. So every male has its own female counterpart. They're not, you cannot exchange another man's soulmate to help another male's tikkun.
Correct.
Okay.
She is in this world to help her soulmate. But if he is not ready for her, she will be given to another in order to have her marriage rights and all those three things that a man cannot do when he divorces his wife, the marital conjugal rights, and I forget the other two.
Mm-hmm. Clothing and food.
I think was one. I think we read that a few Torah portions back. Mm-hmm. You know, the female slave and food, I think, and probably
food and clothes.
Yeah, and conjugal rights. I think that's one of the three.
Yes.
But I read something, I believe it was on Torah Minute, about doves and how they just live with one mate, which is pretty much kind of the same picture of what we're talking about with him. But,
the dove mates for eternity. They mate for this lifetime. If their one mate dies, the other one will never reconnect with another mate.
Okay, I have a friend who raised birds, and she said that wasn't true because she had doves. And I told her, well, maybe those doves weren't, they were a mixed breed. I didn't know what else might be the reason for her to think that, you know. But she said with her birds, she noticed that wasn't true. And I'd never heard anything else. You know, so I thought, well, maybe it's a mixed breed, and that's why it's not a whole dog.
You need to remember that human activity affects the animals. That's what was going on with the children of the generation of the flood. The negative human activity was causing the animals to mix breeds. So that's still true today. So earlier, 1,000 years ago, the statement that the sages made are true. Today, she may be correct, but the cause is human activity, negative human activity. And there's a reason that she is seeing doves act this way, which is a cleansing for her of something.
Well, she no longer raises them, but she did for a long time.
Which means that aspect of her tikkun is completed. She passed the test, and so she doesn't need to be shown these doves anymore. We're out of time.
Okay. This was quite interesting. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and be here tonight for the Zohar class, but I'm giving you fair warning. I was up most of the night, even though I went to sleep at 11:30 my time. And I got a good night's 4 or 5 hours, but then I've been up ever since, so.
Okay.
And I will try it, but if I get energized, I will be here.
Okay. No problem. What is today, anyway? Thursday?
Yes. Tomorrow morning, there will be a Psalms class. So I wish you all Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.